Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldarie, and today we're Masechus Yuma Daf Lamed Beis, the third parak Amar Lahem Hamamuna. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in a braisa that the pasuk states right after the Torah details the avoda of the ketores and the application of the blood from the bull and the goat, which were done while the kohen gadol wore the big day lavan. Uva Aaron el Ohel Moed. Aaron shall come to the Ohel Moed. Why should he come there? Rashi explains that the kohen gadol had already completed the avoda down there, and the pasuk doesn't give a reason. So the braisa continues, Eino ba el hotzi asakaf as a machta. He comes only to remove the ladle and the pan which he had left in the Kodesh Kodashim. But called Parsha Kula Nemra Aseder Chutz Mepasik Zeh. For the entire Parsha, the Yom Kippur Avodah is stated in chronological order except for this Pasik. Rashi explains that the ram offerings of the Kohen Gadol and the people are done prior to the removal of the ladle and the pan while the Kohen Gadol is dressed in the Big Day Zahav, but the Pasik lists their service after the removal of the Kaf and the Machta. So the Gemara asks what the reason is that the ram offerings must intervene between the special Yom Kippur service and the removal of the Kaf and the Machta. And Rav Chisna answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition which Rashi defines as Halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that the Kohen Gadol does 5 Tfilos and 10 Kiddushin on the day of Yom Kippur, and if we say the Parsha is in order, you'll only find 3 Tfilos and 6 Kiddushin. Point number 2, the Gemara brings a long braisa that provides the sources for the 5 Tfilos and 10 Kiddushin and lists the various avodos that the Kohen Gadol performs on Yom Kippur. After bringing the sources for the tefillos, the Braisa asks, "Umanayin shekol tefillot tzricha shnei kiddushin?" And from where do we know that each and every immersion requires 2 kiddushin? The Torah states, "Ufashat v'rachat v'rachat v'lavash." He shall remove and wash, and he shall wear. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the kiddushin can be learned from a kal v'chomer. Ma b'makom she'ein tom tefillah. If in a case where a tefillah is not required mid the Braisa all year long to enter the Azorah, tom kiddush, washing is required. But makom shetom tefillah, then in a case such as Yom Kippur, where tefillah is required midraisa, is it not logical that kiddush is also required? He learns that 2 kiddushim are required from a hekesh of pshita to lavisha, removing the begadim to putting them on. Just as donning the begadim requires a kiddush, so to removing the begadim requires a kiddush. And point number 3, the Mishnah stated, Heviyo was a tamid kratzo. They brought in the tamid, he made an incision. The Gemara asks, what is kratzo? And Ula answered that it's an expression of killing, meaning the Kohen Gadol slaughtered the Tamid. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that Ula based his explanation on the pasuk Ego yafefia Mitzrayim, carrots mitzafum ba'va. Mitzrayim is a fair heifer, but a carrot from the north is surely coming. Rav Yosef explained, Mitzrayim was a fair kingdom, but murderous peoples from the north came upon it. Yirmiyahu is prophesying that Babu will conquer Mitzrayim. So we see that the word carrots has a connotation of killing. So once again, point number 1, it was taught in a braisa that the pasuk states right after the Torah details the avoda of the ketores and the applications of blood from the bull and the goat, which were done while the Kohen Gadol wore the big day lavan, uva Aaron el Ohel Moed, and Aaron shall come to the Ohel Moed. Now why should he come there? Rashi explains the Kohen Gadol had already completed the avoda done there, and the pasuk doesn't give a reason. So the braisa continues, Eino ba el hotzi asakaf es hamachta. He comes only to remove the ladle and the pan which he'd left in the Kodesh Kodashim. But called Parsha Kula Nemra Aseder Chutz Mepasik Zeh, where the entire Parsha of the Yom Kippur Avodah is stated in chronological order except for this Pasik. Rashi explains that the ram offerings of the Kohen Gadol and the people are done prior to the removal of the Kaf and the Machta, while the Kohen Gadol is dressed in the Big Day Zav, but the Pasik lists their service after the removal of the Kaf and the Machta. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the ram offerings must intervene between the special Yom Kippur service and the removal of the Kaf and the Machta, and Rav Chisna answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition, which Rashi defines as Halakha Moshe Mitzinai, that the Kohen Gadol does 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin on the day of Yom Kippur. And if we say that the Parsha is in order, you'll find only 3 tefillos and 6 kiddushin. Point number 2, the Gemara brings a long braisa that provides the sources for the 5 tefillos and 10 kiddushin and lists the various avodas that the Kohen Gadol performs on Yom Kippur. After bringing the sources for the tefillos, the braisa asks, "Umanayin shekol tefillah u'tefillah tzricha shnei kiddushin?" And from where do we know that each and every immersion requires 2 kiddushin? The Torah states, "Ufashat v'rachat v'rachat v'lavash." He shall remove and wash, and he shall wear. Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the kiddushin can be learned from Kal v'chomer. Ma b'makom she'ein ton tefillah. If in a case where a tefillah is not required mid the raisa all year long to enter the Azorah, ton kiddush, washing is required, then b'makom she'ton tefillah. Then in a case such as Yom Kippur, where tefillah is required mid the raisa, isn't it logical that kiddush is also required? He learns that 2 kiddushim required from a hekesh of pshita to levisha, removing the begadim to putting them on. Just as donning the begadim requires a kiddush, so too removing the begadim requires a kiddush. And point number 3, the Mishnah stated, Heviyo was a tamid kratzo. They brought him the tamid, he made an incision. The Gemara asks, what is kratzo? And Ula answered that it's an expression of killing, meaning the Kohen Gadol shechted the Talmid. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that Ula bases explanation on the pasuk Egel yafifia Mitzrayim, carrots mitzafum ba'va Mitzrayim is a fair heifer, but a carrot from the north is surely coming. Rav Yosef explained, Mitzrayim was a fair kingdom, but murderous peoples from the north came upon it. Yirmiyahu is prophesizing that Babel will conquer Mitzrayim. So we see the word carrots has the connotation of killing. All right, so now we go to our Simfer Daf Lamed Beis, and our standard simon is a mad scientist in a lab. A mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the fourth step in a five-step process washed his hands and feet twice and quickly changed after his experiment killed the neighbor's cow. Once again, in slow motion. The mad scientist, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. The mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as a four-step and a five-step process, which reminds us, the Braisa teaches that the pasuk Aaron shall come to the Olamot, is coming to teach that Aaron comes only to remove the kaf and the machtav which he had left in the Kodesh Kodashim. But called Parsha Kula Nemra al Seder Chutz Mepasuk Zeh, for the entire Parsha of the Yom Kippur Avodah is stated in chronological order except for this pasuk, where she explains that the ram offerings of the Kohen Gadol and the people are done prior to the removal of the ladle in the pan, while the Kohen Gadol is dressed in the big day Zahav, but the pasuk lists their service after the removal of the kaf and the machta. The Gemara asks what the reason is that the ram offerings must intervene between the special Yom Kippur service and the removal of the kaf and the machta, and Rav Chisna answers, Gemiri, we have a tradition, which Rashi defines as Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that the Kohen Gadol does five tefillos and 10 kedushim on the day of Yom Kippur, and if we say the parsha is in order, you'll only find 3 tefillos and 6 kedushim. So the mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the fourth step in a five-step process, wash his hands and feet twice and quickly change, which reminds us, a Braisa asks, where do we know that each and every tefillah requires 2 kedushin? The Torah states, Ufashet v'rachatz v'rachatz v'lavash. He shall remove and wash and he shall wear. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says that the kedushin can be learned from a Kal v'chomer. Ma b'malkum she'ein tahun tefillah. If in a case where tefillah is not required midiraisa all year long to enter the Azorah, Ton Kiddush, washing is required, but Makman Shaton Tevila. Then in a case such as Yom Kippur, where Tevila is required with the Raisa, is it not logical that Kiddush is also required? He learns that 2 Kiddushim are required from the Hekush of Pshita to Levisha, removing the Begadim to bring them on, just as donning the Begadim requires a Kiddush, so too removing the Begadim requires a Kiddush. So the mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the fourth step in a five-step process, washed his hands and feet twice and quickly changed, after his experiment killed the neighbor's cow. Which reminds the Mishnah stated, Hevi'u was a tamid kratzo. They brought him the tamid, he made an incision. The Gemara asked, what is kratzo? And Ula answered that it's an expression of killing, meaning the Kohen Gadol shechted the tamid. Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak said that Ula bases explanation on the pasuk Egel yafafia Mitzrayim, carrots mitzafum ba'va Mitzrayim is a fair heifer, but a carrot from the north is surely coming. Rav Yosef explained, Mitzrayim was a fair kingdom, but murderous peoples from the north came upon it. Yirmiyahu was prophesizing that Babel will conquer Mitzrayim. We see that the word carrots has the connotation of killing. So once again, the mad scientist who attempted to extract a ladle in a pan from behind a curtain as the fourth step in a five-step process washed his hands and feet twice and quickly changed after his experiment killed the neighbor's cow. All right, now it's time for a four-block back chazara. Daf Chav Ches. So the symbol of Chav Ches is a strong man, Koach. So here goes. The strong man, that must mean we're on Daf Chav Ches. The strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived, which reminds us, the opening mission of the third parak states, Amar Lehem HaMamuna, the administrator, which Rashi defines as the Skan Kohen Gadol, says to the assembled Kohanim to go and see if the time of the Shkita for the morning Tamid had arrived. If it had arrived, the observer would say, Barkai, dawn. Masi ben Shmuel says, Heir Pnei Kohen Mizrach, the eastern sky has lit up. He would then be asked, Ad Shebe Chevron, as far as Chevron, and he says, yes. Why was this necessary? Because one time, the moon's light rose over the horizon close to morning, and they thought the east had lit up from the sun. And so they shechted the tamid, behotzi'u l'beisus reifa, but then had to take it out to the place of burning. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant, which reminds us, Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina said, Miyamein shal v'seinu l'parshi yeshiva man. From the days of our forefathers, yeshivas did not depart from them. He learns from the presence of the Zakenim, of the elders in Mitzrayim in the Midbar, that yeshivas were present there. He continues that Avram Avinu was an elder sitting yeshiva, as it says, Avram Zaken Babi Yamim, Avram was a Zaken well on in years. And Pesukim were also brought to prove that Yitzhak and Yaakov were also elders who sat in yeshivas. And Eliezer, the Eved Avram, was also a Zaken, sitting in Yeshiva. As it's written, Yomer Avram El Avdo, Zaken Beiso HaMoshe B'Kol Asher Lo. Avram said to his servant, the elder of his household, who controlled all that was his. Rabbi Eliezer expanded the end of the Pasuk of Moshe B'Kol Asher Lo, who controlled all that was his, to mean Shemoshe B'Torah's Rabbo, that Eliezer had dominion over the Torah of his master. He also interprets the words "hu domestic Eliezer" to mean "shado umashkim torasu shel rabbo lachem," that Eliezer drew from the Torah of his master and gave it to others to drink. Rashi explains that the word "domestic" is an anagram of the words "dola umashka." He draws and gives a drink. So the strong man who stood on the roof to see if dawn had arrived saw an elder in yeshiva tell his loyal servant to set up an erev tafshilin, which reminds us. Rav said, "Kim Avram Avinu kol Torah kula." Avram Avinu fulfilled the entire Torah, as it says, "Eka v'sher shama Avram v'koli bishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sorosai." Because Avram obeyed my voice and observed my safeguards, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Rav said, and some say it was Rav Ashi, "Kim Avram Avinu afil eruv tavshilin." Avram Avinu fulfilled even the drabanan of eruv tavshilin, as is written the pasuk torosai, my laws in the plural, achas Torah shebiksav v'achas Torah shebalpeh, which indicates both the written law and the oral law. Dav Chavtes, so the symbol Chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The princess lying on the cot. Cot? That must be more Dav Chavtes. The princess lying on the cot, surrounded by meat roasting on broken pieces of cement, which reminds us, Rav Nachman made several statements and included a sim for each one. Two of them were, Yihuri Aver Kashume Avera, V'simanech Recha Debisra, thoughts of sin are worse than sin, and the simon is the aroma of roasting meat. Rashi explains that the smell of roasting meat is very disturbing to someone who can't eat it. And the second statement was, Migmar ba'atikata kash mechadasa v'simanech tina bartina. Relearning old forgotten material is harder than acquiring new knowledge. And the simon is cement made from old cement. Rashi explains that it's hard to make cement by crumbling and reconstituting an old cement wall than by crumbling fresh dirt. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning. Which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Laman nimshala Esther l'shachar. Why is Esther compared with the morning? Rashi brings the Gemara Megillah that Esther said the kapitel of Lamnatzeach al Ayelus HaShachar when she reached the chamber of idols to speak to Achashverosh. Lomar Ocham Mashachar Sof Kol Laila Af Esther Sof Kol Nisim. To tell you that just as the morning is the end of the entire night, so too the redemption wrought by Esther is the end of all the miracles. When Gemara asks, well, what about the miracle of Hanukkah that occurred after Purim? Nitna Lichtov Kamrin. We meant to say that Purim is the last miracle allowed to be recorded as part of Tanakh. So the princess lying on the cot surrounded by meat, roasting on broken pieces of cement, woke up in the morning and saw the kemitzah she did at night being burned up as well. Which reminds the Mishnah taught that an animal offering that was shechted at night was invalid and required burning. The father of Rabbi Avin taught a braisa that said, "Af malika za'ov kemitzas mincha b'lalei tisarif." Also, the malika of a bird or the kemitzah of a mincha that was performed at night must be burned. The Gemara asks, well, it's understandable that a bird ola that was nipped at night must be burned because it's already been nipped and therefore there's no way to reverse the process. Why should the kometz be burned? Let the kohen return the flour to the pan containing the rest of the mincha and then take a new kometz at daytime. Rabbi Avin's father explained, Klishar is mekadshin afil shul bezmano. A klishar is consecrates an offering even not at its proper time. Therefore, once the kometz was placed in the klishares, even at night, it can no longer be returned to the rest of the mincha. When this teaching is challenged based on the brayza that teaches that anything offered by day is sanctified by day but not at night, the Gemara answers that the kometz is not sanctified regarding being able to offer it, but it's sanctified enough to become invalid. The Gemara further clarifies that the ton of the Brisa holds, Laila ein mechusar zman, that the time frame of night doesn't render something premature, since the night begins the day in Jewish law, whereas yom mechusar zman, the time frame of day, does render something premature if it's to be done the following day. Daf Lamed, so the Simur Daf Lamed is a Melamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The very holy Rebbe, that must mean Ron Daf Lamed, Melamed. The very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his Talmidim to wash their hands. Which reminds us, the Mishnah stated the general rule, Kol Matum Maim Tom Kiddush Yadayim Raglaim. Anyone who urinates requires sanctification of his hands and feet, referring to washing from the kir. The Gemara asks, while it's understandable that the feet must be washed, Mishum Nisotzos, because droplets of urine fall on them, what's the reason one needs to wash his hands? Rabbi Abba said this ruling indicates mitzvah l'shapshef, that there's a rabbanim mitzvah to rub off any droplets of urine with one's hand. Since the hands become unclean through this, they too must be washed. Rabbi Abba's explanation supports Rabbi Abba's statement that it's forbidden for a person to go out in public with droplets of urine on his feet, because it'll appear like a person with a cup member, and I'll cast aspersions on his children that they're mamzerim. So the very holy Rebbe installed a 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, No person may enter the Azara to do the Avoda even if he is Tahor until he immerses himself in a mikveh. Ben Zoma was asked why Kohen needs to do the Tefillah even if he's Tahor, and he answered that regarding the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, if one who switches from one holy place in Yom Kippur to another holy place, and from a place of Karis punishment to another place of Karis punishment, Tohen Tefillah requires Tefillah, then is it not a Kal V'Chomer that one who switches on any day, Mechola Kodesh, from a non-sacred place, meaning his home, to a sacred place, the base of Mikdash, and from a place where there is no Karis punishment to a place where there is a Karis punishment, should require Tefillah? Rav Yehuda disagreed and said, Tzrach Tefillah Hizot, this is only a reminder Tefillah, so that one will recall any old tumah that's upon himself and stop from entering the temple. So the very holy Rebbe installed the 12-spout washing station outside the bathroom for his Talmidim to wash their hands, and insisted they bring signed notes that they went to the mikveh before entering class each day, even if one was a Metzora, which reminds us. The Gemara sought to reconcile conflicting brises. In the first brise, Rav Yehuda holds that a Metzora does not need to do Tevilah on the day of his purification because he'd already immersed the previous evening. The second brise asks what the purpose was for the Lishkas of Metzorayim, and it answers that there the Metzorayim would immerse themselves before inserting their thumbs and toes into the Azara. And Rav Yehuda says that not only would Metzorayim immerse there, rather, all people immerse themselves before entering the Azara. This contradicts the first brise where Rav Yehuda states that the Metzora is not required to immerse himself on the eighth day. So the Gemara answers that the first brise refers to where he immersed the previous day, al das bias mikdash, for the intended purpose of entering the base of mikdash. The second brise is where he did not, and the tefillah only purified him from the tumah of tzaras. And two more answers are given. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the symbol of Lamed Aleph is related to law. We use a judge. So here goes. The judge. That must mean we're on Daf Lamed Aleph. The judge from Einei Tam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikvah on the Shahar HaMayim, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Lamed Amud Aleph taught that all the tefillahs of the Kohen Gadol are in the Kodesh, referring to the Azara, atop the base of Parva, except for the first one. The Gemara here brings a brice that teaches that the first tefillah was Bechol, an unsanctified area, al Gabi Shahar HaMayim ubitzad Lishkaso Haisa, atop the water gate, and it was located on the side of the Kohen Gadol's Lishka. Abai said we can deduce from here that Einei Tam is a little more than 23 amas higher than the floor of the Azara. Rashi explains that Einei Tam is a spring that supplied water via canals to the mikveh used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. We learned earlier that all the gates of the temple except for the Ulam were 20 amos high. Since the mikveh on top of the gate was 3 amos high, it must be that Einei Tam was slightly more than 23 amos higher than the Azara floor. So the judge from Einei Tam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikveh on the Shahar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down or ripped through the linen sheet, which reminds the Mishnah stated, Persu Sadin Shel Boots Bein Ola Bein Ha'am, they spread a linen sheet between the Kohen Gadol and the people when he immersed. The Gemara asks what's unique about a sheet made of linen, and answers that it's in order that the Kohen Gadol will realize that the special service of the day is performed with linen begadim. So the judge from Einei Tam who dropped his gavel in the canal that led to the mikveh on the Shahar HaMayim watched in horror as it sailed down and ripped through the linen sheet, just as the Kohen Gadol finished putting on his big day zahav and did his first washing. Which reminds the next Mishnah states, the Kohen Gadol undressed, descended into the mikveh, immersed, ascended, and dried himself. They brought on the big day zahav and he put them on, v'kidesh yada v'raglav, and he sanctified his hands and his feet. A group of Rabbanim said in the presence of the Rebbe Rav Papa that the Mishnah, which does not require two sanctifications for the first immersion, does not go according to Rabbi Meir, since he said that the Kohen Gadol performs two sanctifications each time he puts on new begadim. Rav Papa said Rabbi Meir would not require two washings, but has brought explicit proof from a brisa that states he does require two washings. The Gemara goes on to clarify that according to the Rabbanim, who argue with Rabbi Meir and hold the Kohen Gadol only washed once, when donning the Big Day Zahav for the first time, the 10th washing was performed when he removed his Big Day Zahav for the last time before he donned his Big Day Chol. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. Number 1. Which stuff do you learn that skinning and dismemberment, Hepshet in Nituach, can be done by a Zar? That's on Daf Chav Zayin. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that the word Kratzo means killing? That's on Daf Lamed Beis. Good. Number 3. Which of the one that two Kohanim brought the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim for the afternoon tummy? That's on Daf Chav Vav. Good. Number 4. Which of the one the spring of Ein Eitam, which supplied water for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, was a little more than 23 almost higher than the Azara floor? That's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which of the one that one urinates, it's a mitzvah of the Rabban to rub off droplets, which is the reason why the hands must be washed? That's on Daf Lamed. Good. Number 6. Which of the one that a kmitzah that was done at night is burned, it cannot be returned to the flour because the kli sharis was mekadesh. That's on Daf Chav Tes. Good. Number 7. Which of the malchus ben zomer Rabbi Yehuda whether a tahor immersing before entering the azara is a deraisa chiyuv or just a srach tefillah? That's on Daf Lamed. Good number 8. Wish through on a linen sheet was used when the Kohen Gadol went to the mikveh to remind him the abode of the day was done in big day boots. That's on Daf. Lamed Av. Good number 9. Wish something on the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol did one kiddush at the first tefillah. Does not go according to Rabbi Meir, who says he did two. That's on Daf. Lamed Av. Good. Number 10. Which of the one is a malchokas? How we know that there are two kiddushin for every tefillah? That's on Daf. Lamed Beis. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which of the one that one should give tzedakah while one can? That's on Daf. Kufnun off in Shavas. Good. Number 2. Which of the one that when someone donates an unspecified amount of lavona, the minimum shear is a kometz? That's on Daf. Yidches and Shkalim. Good. And number 3, which of the one why Rabbi Gamliel was deposed as the Nasi? That's on Daf. Chav Zayin Brachas. Excellent. Right. That concludes the Bop Quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldenzichor wishing you a great day and great learning.